2 Chronicles 20 and 20. So this is a scenario where Jehoshaphat and the people of Israel are looking at three adversaries, three armies that have converged, triangulated on them, and have decided to finally, let's go destroy Israel. We couldn't do it by ourselves individually, but if we work together, we can annihilate this country. It's kind of like what we're looking at today, the attitudes of some of the countries around Israel today. It says, so they arose early in the morning, and they went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Now, this is what you call leadership. This is leadership. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord. So he had a moment of those that were of the best singers and best musicians, and consulted with them, got them all in robes, actually, if you read it in its Hebrew language, and appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Now, they haven't raised a spear. They haven't shot an arrow yet. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, that's the tribe of singers, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. Entire armies were decimated. Okay? When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, because the report comes back to them from the worship team and the choir that's gone out there, that they're all dead, Jehoshaphat. The enemy's all, they're all gone, they're dead. So when Jehoshaphat and his people came and goes back out there to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. Anybody want to shout right there? More than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. That's amazing, isn't it? Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you. So hear the words of my mouth and examine the meditations of my heart. I pray they are pleasing in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. What a powerful word from God. May the Holy Spirit find a home here at Calvary Christian Center. I want him to camp here. I think we ought to be praying that during the week, that the Holy Spirit would literally tent here, that the glory of the Lord would like a tent, cover us in our church and this body and bless us. Because, listen, wherever his presence is, there is great spiritual prosperity. And if you were like Obed-Edom, and you were willing to house the Ark of the Covenant depicting the presence of God, man, his crops grew taller, his home was blessed, and he was favored mightily by the presence of God. We want the Holy Spirit to find a home and camp here so that we at Calvary Christian Center are blessed. So the world may know, what's the result of that? So the world may know the love of God. That's what our community needs to know. God's doing great things in the midst of his people. And don't you love the atmosphere of worship that we have here at Calvary Christian Center? Come on. Thank you, Pastor Michael. Thank you, worship team members. Amen. Thank you. We need to have a kingdom culture here at Calvary Christian Center. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Amen. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? Yes. A kingdom culture. And based on the book of Daniel in the Old Covenant, the kingdom of God is an everlasting kingdom. There will be no end to it. And it's an ever-expanding and working kingdom that does everything it can to embrace the best for God's people in the kingdom. And tonight, his purpose for us is to bring his best blessings to us. You are not alone in the battle. You are not alone in your journey. And praise, thanking God, offering to the Lord, the acknowledgement of his goodness. That's what we should be doing when we gather, acknowledging the goodness of the Lord, because his kingdom is in us. And we should have Judah expressing from our hearts. Last time I shared with you about the kingdom culture, we're reminded it is a culture in Christ's kingdom to praise the Lord. It's the culture of the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ to praise the Lord. Amen? We win kingdom battles with praise. You recall Jacob had two wives. His first was Leah, and in his eyes, less desirable than her sister Rachel was not his first choice. And Leah had three sons, after the birth of each, she lamented that Jacob still would not love her. And if you weren't here that when I preached the first one in this short series, you need to get a copy of that. And I went into a little more detail. She had a fourth son, Leah did, and this time, instead of lamenting, she decided, now I will praise the Lord. Judah means to praise. And whenever the name Judah is mentioned, Judah represents praise. So when Israel had to confront the tribe of Benjamin because of their insistent sexual sins, they consulted the Lord. Listen, they said, which of us shall go up first to battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah first. Send in the praisers. So whenever you face a battle for the kingdom culture, we praise first. First, I said. Sometimes we haven't defaulted to that, and we immediately, facing a battle, begin to grumble first. We praise God in advance for the great victory he will provide his people. That's the posture of faith. Now, the analytical mind, which many of us have, but we've got to kind of neutralize that at times when it comes to kingdom principles. Listen, we can't comprehend that because our analytical mind says we don't know how things are going to come out. We don't know how things are going to end. We're not sure how it's going to look a couple of days. Listen, I know how it will come out for my good and God's glory. So I'll go ahead and praise him first because I'm a part of his kingdom. So we know that the results will not be a surprise to God. Therefore, we can trust him. So that means we should be praising him because we trust him because my God knows how it's going to conclude. Now, there are some points I will share tonight. I don't know that I'll finish them, but we'll come back to them when we need to. As we successfully embrace God's kingdom and advance his kingdom on earth, we'll discover it takes an increase of Judah praise to establish and advance God's kingdom. An increase. It's going to be required of us to learn once again a fundamental principle of the body of Christ, and that is to rejoice and praise and give thanks to God. And as we are moving forward, gaining momentum, we have entered into, therefore, a plane of succeeding, and we have to come to the place where God is at home with us, inhabiting our praise. We need God's presence to lead us to victory in the warfare that we're all engaged in. And I thank God for our worship team. They're mighty warriors of praise. They know how to get into the presence of God. And Judah praise goes before the warriors and declares that we commend the Lord. We commend him. And to commend means to entrust for care. Also, to recommend the worth of or condition of worth toward God. So we entrust our care to God. I don't trust myself. I trust God who is with me. And when we trust God with us, we entrust ourselves to his care. Then we recommend that each member of his body entrust themselves to him. And we commend to God every praise, every hallelujah, every two-step. He is worthy of that and so much more. We need to let everybody know you can trust our God. Can trust him. Amen? In this world, there are so many gods. Multitudinous gods in our own community. So many that want to parallel the truth of the one true God, but deceiving many because they're not on a path to the one true God. And that's one of the deceptions I mentioned in second service this morning, is that there is no hell and that there are many paths to God. And everybody on those paths are all going to end up with the one true God. That's total deception. It's total deception. Not going to happen that way. So many have been deceived. And we have light and we have truth. Amen. We have the God who shows up and shows out in a moment, the moment we begin to praise him. Now, I've served God for a lifetime. I've never seen a moment when he does not show up and show out. God will show up on your behalf, but make sure you are serving, obeying, and praising him for his goodness. Does anybody tonight need victory in any area of your life? Are there any people here who need a victory in your life? Come on, be honest. I need a victory in life. Come on, put your hand up. We have to get into an alignment with God in order to have victory. To achieve victory, there needs to be an atmosphere created for that to be produced. Praise and worship creates the climate. And you can ask anybody around you you want for help. And many times you'll find that the help they provide really is little or none. So what should you do? Start praising God. He is your very present help in time of need. No one else can make you that promise. You may be struggling tonight. God will call up a Judah out of you that will cause your enemies to turn on one another. Amen. So here's how. Number one, as a result of Judah praise, the enemy of the kingdom of God will be confused. Thank the Lord. Amen. You saw that in my text. When you begin praising, the enemy gets confused. That's why the enemy does not like it when we start really getting engaged in the presence of God and we become vocal in our praise and we become vocal in our worship, because it drives him wild. He gets confused. The enemy doesn't get it. When he comes against you, he's coming against the kingdom of God. When he comes against you, he's coming against the family of the Lord. And as we begin to thank God in any crisis we face, the adversary gets disoriented in that atmosphere. Have you ever seen someone who's disoriented? Yeah, because they're on something and they're off balance. They can't walk straight. They can't function well. They're disoriented. They don't know for sure what foot to put in front of them next. Disoriented. I'll never forget what I saw when I saw Lucifer in that one scene that God allowed me to see. And the disoriented look he had on his face when he was in the middle of all the saints of God and the angels of the Lord, and they were all giving him glory and honor and praise. How disoriented and out of tune the sound that came from him that once was beautiful in the presence of God was now harmful to listen to, difficult to comprehend. The enemy is disoriented when God's people begin to lift their voices in praise. Have you ever seen that in a person? They're just out of balance in life. Some enemies you didn't know you had, but while you were praising God, they grew disoriented. They were looking to present an ambush against you, but because instead of you just capitulating, you begin to praise God, even when you weren't aware of how close they were to attacking you, and it threw them off. They were disoriented. The enemy went off course. The enemy did not get to intersect your life because you were giving God glory and praise. We have great technology. We have great effects. Great atmosphere we can create. But listen up. If praise worked then in the time of Jehoshaphat, praise will work tonight. I've had some adversaries that need to become confused. Does anybody have an adversary that needs to be confused? They've been too focused and able to hit the bullseye in recent days. Not tonight. I believe the adversary is getting confused even in the middle of this service right now. They can't find you. They can't scope you. They will have mistaken identity. So you better get in line and start praising, because the one that they had targeted is praising and they can't find that one. But if you're not praising, their sights will be on you, right? They'll be mistaken identity. They won't be able to get to you, not tonight, not this week. Tell your neighbor, my enemies are confused tonight. They thought, your enemy thought you'd be at the mall tonight. The enemy thought you'd be parked in front of your television tonight. No, you're at Calvary Christian Center worshiping God. Amen? Yeah. They thought you'd be enthralled by some sports activity that you wanted to watch on television. No, you were in God's house. And they looked for you during the day and they thought, well, maybe they went off fishing like they typically do on a Sunday afternoon. No, you were at Calvary Christian Center worshiping. I believe your enemies are confused right now. It's the result of your praise. And this is not what Pastor says. This is what the Word of God says. Well, Pastor, meanwhile, I was clapping my hands and praising God, telling God how good He is. And my neighbor didn't even know the battle that I've been fighting and that I've been through hell. Yep, but I came in here with a heart of praise and worship. And you're telling me that everything that was warring against me is confused? And all the while, I've been behaving like a citizen of the kingdom of God, honoring the Lord, and my adversaries are confused right now, and they don't know how to attack me? Yes, and amen to that. Yes, they struggle because you are praising God instead of murmuring and complaining and grumbling about their circumstance. And when the enemy has been hard on your back and on your track, you need to do something. You need to take action. And here's what to do. Turn to a Judah praise. It doesn't have to be for an hour. 5 minutes, release Judah praise to the Lord. And the enemy will be running the other way, because praise will release confusion on your adversary. Does anybody here know that when you give God praise and honor and glory and adoration, your enemies become confused? Does anybody know that? The devil doesn't know where to find you in the midst of that. He loses focus. Look at those three armies. They could not focus on Israel. Their focus was they were turning on each other. He's lost focus. In the middle of the praise environment, the adversary gets disoriented when you give God praise. Now, when you begin to praise the Lord, deposits are being made into your spiritual account. You didn't know how it got there. And while you were praising, the enemy got scattered and got upset, and God was filling your tank. Amen? Number two, the strategic plans to overthrow God's kingdom citizens will be used against them, them meaning your adversaries. The adversary is strategic. Never underestimate the strategic ability of your adversary. He spends time collecting data. He knows your weaknesses. He has examined your family's lineage and knows exactly where to target you. And he spends time trying to find a window, a door, a crack to stop you. And it seems like when he launches his attacks, one thing hits, followed by yet another. Have you ever noticed that? They come sequentially. Three enemies collaborated to attack Judah sequentially, all together. And most of the time, you will get more than one bad incident in 24 hours. Most of the time, one thing starts, and then before you turn around, another one goes off. Clusters. He loves cluster bombs. You have had multiple things coming at you at one time. It's a strategy from hell, and he knows exactly how to attack. Attacking the marriage, attacking the children, attacking your finance, a strategic plan. And he comes at every one of those angles as fast as he can while you're still trying to recover from the first attack. Understand what the enemy is doing. He's attempting to throw you off balance because you are a kingdom citizen. And if he can keep the multitude of kingdom citizens off balance, then our ability to progress is halted and stalled. Multiple things happening. Ambushes take place. You get caught in a firefight. You don't want to show it, but we see it on you. We see when you come through the door. Exchange the spirit of heaviness for the garment of praise when you get into God's presence. Amen? Instead of coming in, give God glory in his house. If the heaviness goes home with you, it's a choice that you've made. I've made up my mind. I'm exchanging the spirit of heaviness for the garment of praise. I can have praise that shifts the battle. And the enemy strategizes. Listen, it's thought out. They have planning sessions, plotting to do everything they can to keep you from moving upward in the kingdom. Listen, you're too anointed to sit still. But much planning goes into an operation to stop you. One day I'll tell you what I had to do, what I had to walk through to get to this platform. It's amazing. You have no idea the minefields. And it's never as easy as it looks. And here's my focus. I have to just keep on praising God. Just keep on praising God. Keep on trusting God. There are meetings going on in the realms of darkness to try to stop your advancement, to plot ways and means to keep you from achieving what God's plan is. But when you start praising God, confusion drops in on their meetings, and it absolutely distorts everything they've got on their table. Every strategic plan against you is dispelled. In fact, they begin warring against themselves when they thought they were gathering to plot to war against you. And they begin to argue and fight among themselves instead of continuing to focus on your life. The enemy thought the plan was working. It stopped working because I praise God, who is good. Even when life has been bad, I still praise my God. And if you're in battle tonight, offer up Judah praise. Listen, whatever was strategic, designed to hold you back, has to fall, falter. It cannot succeed. Amen? And what does this have to do with this kingdom? When you're praising, you're free. When you're praising, God can work through you. You're not practicing kingdom when you're bound. You're stalled. And when you're stalled, the enemy has easy pickings targeting you. Number three, the confused attack will continue until those forces in alliance have destroyed themselves. Not one enemy escaped in this story. Not one. Listen, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. And you can't define your enemy just by looking at faces, though, although principalities often will use personalities. But when you praise God in the battle, the one who is being used against you might actually be used to advance you forward, because he's been trying to set for you a trap or trying to set for you something that will stall you. But in the process, like he thought with Joseph, all it did was continue to advance him, because he had this never quit on God's promise, never stop believing on what God's promised, and I'm going to keep praising God no matter what I face. And God took him exactly where he needed to go in spite of all the setbacks. Amen. The confused attack, they will continue until they have destroyed one another and you come out the victor. And you were birthed into the kingdom of God. Listen, you were birthed into God's kingdom. And the remedy when you're under attack, you're not cussing people out. That's not who we are. Just begin praising your God. Compared to your cussing, what God will do to them is incomparable. No matter how angry you get at the adversary, no matter what you say, think, or do, will never compare to what God will do if you'll just stop doing that and turn to Him and believe, I've got a God who fights for me. Amen. God instituted praise, and He loves praise, and He loves acknowledgement, because it's a form of saying to Him, I trust you absolutely, completely with my life. No matter what happens to me, I'm in your hands. The result, He'll come down into your midst and do amazing things for you. Amen? Now, someone carried the message to you that an enemy has been working and he's trying to trip you up. And someone's come to you with a word from the Lord telling you, be careful, the enemy's targeting you, as if you didn't know, right? It should only be a confirmation. You're praising because you sense the adversary. You're praising because you know he's looking to do you harm. And you continue praising until things begin to break in the right direction. Been there, done that, understand that, things will break. There is an upgrade in this house tonight. We are to create a culture of praise because hell, grief, and discouragement cannot remain. We are in a posture of praising and thanking God who never loses a battle. Amen? Number four, when Judah praise is done, we will physically see a complete victory. Now just don't underestimate that adversary. Because if you don't learn to praise God, and you just kind of grumble and stumble along your Christian walk, and the enemy knows your family lineage and he knows your history, because he's lived from the beginning when God created him. And he's watched your lineage and your genealogy and taken notes. And he's got a, you talk about going to ancestry.com. He's got your family tree better than they do. He knows exactly where you came from. He knows exactly who's in your bloodline. He knows exactly their weaknesses. And he knows exactly not only what to target, but exactly when to target, right? So you need to always be alert and on top of the game, because your adversary goes around like a roaring lion seeking, looking. Now, when they were done praising, they went looking out into the wilderness, and all the opposition was dead. They were gone, every one of them dead. Have you praised long enough? Or was it just a few minutes, and then that's all I'm going to do? Have you praised every day? Or just wait for Sunday to praise the Lord? To see a total victory, listen, don't stop praising halfway. The team that was sent out by Jehoshaphat continued to praise and praise and praise the Lord until it began to multiply in the ears of the adversary. Listen, don't stop praising halfway. I have more obstacles than I had last year, okay? You think sometimes, well, you know, life should get easier as time goes on. No, I have more obstacles than I had last year. And I cannot afford to stop praising my God now. Amen. I'm in the midst of something, listen, outside the norm. And when I'm in those kind of moments, there has to be something in my heart that displays gratitude toward my God. A posture of thanksgiving in the middle of any circumstance. Listen, not talking about how bad it is. No, we choose to praise and bless the Lord. Why? Because I know a God who is a faithful God. And if I can trust Him, you can trust Him, and your neighbor can trust Him. And if you will, choose to praise His name. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. Isn't that great victory? Don't you want one of those in your life? All the opposition was neutralized. In this case, there were disintegrations. Yes. Anything opposing their advancement ended. Totally neutralized. And while they were giving God what he deserved, listen, I'm not asking you to give God anything but what he deserves. What does he deserve from you? What do you owe him? How indebted are you to the God who's loved you like he has and provided for you? I'm not asking you to give him anything he doesn't deserve. Watch him show up and watch him show out when you bless him for his faithfulness to you. Because all we are wired to kind of, we tend to fight and struggle and struggle. And God says, stop and praise me. Just praise me. I'll fight for you. Number five, anytime you defeat an enemy, you get the spoil. Anytime you defeat an enemy, you get the spoil. Israel goes into the wilderness looking, and all their enemies are dead. Now, these are huge armies. There are thousands of people in each of those armies, and every single last one of them is dead. And people wonder, how are my financial needs going to be met? God restores. We serve a God of restoration. Read his word. When the enemy is defeated, you reap the spoils. When David goes back to Ziklag after fighting adversaries, he and his men are worn, tired. They're mighty, great, fantastic warriors, but they are depleted. They have defeated their adversaries. They're coming home for rest. They're going home for a little R&R. They're on leave, and they walk into their camp, and everything's been burned to the ground. There's nobody there, nothing left. Their wives and kids are all kidnapped, and their belongings stolen. Everything in there that was left was burned to the ground. The Amalekites stole everything that belonged to David and his mighty men of valor. And the enemy that attacked you, trust God for direction. Believe God for a specific answer and direction. Then go and recover all plus the spoils of the enemy. Because when the enemy attacks unresisted, he steals your finances. He steals your health. He'll steal members of your family. When you don't resist him, he'll take everything he can find from you. The enemy gets wealthy from plundering our lives. And the enemy wants to get wealthy from the spoils of kingdom people. Kingdom people don't believe in praise any longer in some of our churches. No, what I mean by that is, listen, here's their mindset now. They now believe we should just sit in church and let somebody perform and sing to us instead of engaged praise of the people of the Lord. No, if I have inherited the kingdom, I have to protect what God gave me. So I offer praise to God so I can shake the devil off. Amen. And the Amalekites would come in. Listen, they would conquer a region and they would carry off everything they could find. And they did it in place after place after place. Similar to what the Babylonians did when they attacked Israel. And they carried off their wealth. They took the wisest of people from among the Israelis, the educated people. They kidnapped all of them. They took all their gold and silver and put it into their own storehouse. Then they proceeded to recondition the mindset of those they captured from Jerusalem. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to bow. No, we're not going to get culturalized by the Babylonian Empire. The Babylonians attempted to re-educate them, teach them their language, teach them their customs, teach them their diet and their gods. And they thought, we will cause them to forget where they came from. They will forget their God. They will forget who it was that they used to serve. It wasn't where they came from. It was who they were. It was who they were. They belonged to the family of the Lord. They attempted to get the God first culture out of the three boys. We're going to get that out of you. I'm here to declare the devil wants to squeeze the nature of God out of you. I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to the heart of praise and worship inside of you. And I'm here tonight, anointed by God, to call praise back out of God's people. And whatever the devil took out of you, he can steal no longer. We saturate this house. We saturate your house. We saturate your finances. We saturate your children. Listen, I'm praying to God that the anointing of the Spirit falls on your kids and in the most inauspicious ways, in places they never expected, while they're doing something that they shouldn't, and the Holy Spirit touches their heart and saturates them, and they begin to break under the pressure. Listen, we saturate your health. We saturate your marriage with praise to the Lord. Come on, celebrate Him. Celebrate a God who restores. Amen. Generations ago, the enemy planned to steal all from you and your family. See, he didn't just begin the attack with you, but back in time, in eons before you ever were a thought, in previous generations, he attempted to bind your grandfather and your grandmother and your great-great-grandparents and your ancestry. So one day you would find yourself bound and struggling. Hear me. Grandparents might have capitulated somewhere back in time. Someone in generations past may have given in to the devil's plans. But that day of failure and defeat is over. We're canceling that. Amen? Your grandparents might have died early, but not you. You shall live long and declare the glory of the Lord. Is there anybody here tonight who understands the devil has been working a long time against you, but this is the generation of the Lord. This is. Amen. Understand what the devil has been after. Moses, the great deliverer of Israel. The enemy started to take Moses out when he was but a little child. Why? Because not just for Israel's sake, longevity. He was trying to take Jesus out in generations to come. Because if he could have stopped Moses, killed him off, and put a crimp in the plan that God had to bring Jesus through the lineage of the Israeli people, some of your lineage went through hell, all because you were going to show up one day. And I'm here to speak to your generational bloodline. I declare your day of victory is here right now, tonight. Amen. They may not have praised, but you are a praiser. And if you praise, generations will be blessed by your learning to praise and worship God. Generations after you will not be bound by a spirit of poverty. Generations to come will not know how bad it was when you had to struggle, but they'll experience freedom because you broke the curse. The next generation will have it easier because all they're going to have to do is praise, and they will receive their victory because you planted in this day. Is there anybody here tonight who knows that God wants to give you generational victory? Generational victory. Through generations, the devil's been taking stuff, adding sicknesses, trapping people, attempting to bind you in your lineage. I'm here to declare, I speak backwards and I'm speaking forward. I come against cancer that travels through bloodlines. I come against a spirit of poverty that has been generational. I speak against emotional illness that's in bloodlines. The devil wanted you bound and ineffective, but tonight, the praise we have in this house, you will not be bound by generational curses. The devil will go crazy because you're about to drive him into a fit. Somebody give God some praise in this house. Come on. Somebody give God some praise. Look at your previous generations. Someone might have been ambushed and tripped up and left for dead because the enemy knew you were coming along and wanted you stopped before you ever got started. The devil is a liar. And you're going to get back what your grandparents were supposed to have, whatever your parents were supposed to have, because we've come here tonight with a praise. We're getting it back tonight. And I want to know, is there anybody here in this house who wants it back generationally? Is there anybody here who wants it back from all the ancestry? Praise for it. Believe God for it. And the generation coming after me will not struggle, because I will have paid for it by my praise and worship of God, winning victory in the now, winning victory in the present time, and passing it forward, praising interference. You know, you watch it on a football field or on a basketball court. Listen, running interference. I am praising interference for my grandchildren, praising for my great-grandchildren, gaining victory on their behalf for their future. Praising the King indicates you are of royal family. Amen. So Calvary, you are not peasants kicked to the curb. You are royalty, people of the Most High God. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may what? Proclaim the what? The praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. It took Israel 3 days to carry the wealth back home. There's release for you, multiplied blessings. And don't minimize. Don't think like the generation that came before you. You are now part of the kingdom of God. Therefore, all God has for you, ask Him for it. Ask Him, Father, I want all that belongs to me and my inheritance. Their enemy was dead. The day is here when the enemy will no longer be able to resist you. And that time is now. Recognize the provision that God has for you. Praise is the weapon of use when the enemy outnumbers you. Father, like the prophet prayed, open their eyes that they may see that there are more for us than are against us. Hallelujah. And when you are overwhelmed, focus on praising the God of angel armies, the Lord of hosts, which means He's got more warriors than the adversary could ever imagine, and they can take them out in a flash. Don't just be focused on your issues when you come into God's house, but give God your highest praise. Give Him the glory He deserves. David put it like this: when my heart is overwhelmed, and you'll have moments like that in life, lead me to the towering rock of safety, for you are my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. Thank the Lord. Amen. God is pleased with the praise we release to Him. So every time we lift praise, we step outside of ourselves, and there's less of us and there's more of Him. And He will step into this place and bless His people when there's less of us and more of Him, when we step out of us and give Him all the glory. Come on, saints. Let's stand to our feet. Let's give God thanks and praise and honor and glory. Let's shout to the Lord. Amen. Come on forward. And let's give God the best praise we've ever given Him all day long.